There we go. Well, I before we kind of jump into the film, I kind of want to ask about something cool about Maze Runner. You had the guts to go after that role. What made you, you obviously love the books, but what made you be so bold to put yourself out there like that, to see if you could get something so, you know, big and interesting like a Maze Runner role? That's an incredible story, Blake.
Yeah, at the time I didn't really think it was a huge deal. I think Westball had just created a Twitter account to promote the movie, and he didn't have that many followers yet. So I just thought he'd see my tweet, since he doesn't have that many followers. And I just sent the tweet. I didn't think it would be, you know, anything big, but it just blew up, and it was crazy.
So wild. So, how did this script come to you? How did you get attached to One Fat Summer?
I think I auditioned for the movie 2 years or something like that before I actually booked it. I auditioned for it once before. I wasn't old enough to play the role, but I remember I'm pretty sure they liked it. And then, I don't know, like 2 years later, it came back around. And I booked it. Yeah,
that's wild. So let's talk about getting to work with Jim and just this process of making this film. What was kind of your first day on set? And tell me about getting to know Jim Loach and his crew.
Jim is awesome, and the entire cast and crew was great. I remember the first day of set. I met Donald Sutherland for the first time, which was quite a moment. And I got to work with him right off of day one. And with Donald and Jim there, it felt a lot like me and Donald were just kind of having conversations. That it didn't really feel like we were shooting a movie. It felt more like Donald was giving me life advice instead of Dr. Khan giving me life advice, which I thought was, you know, really interesting. And the way Jim directs, I really love, because, you know, he's very British, and I remember a lot of cast and crewmates would kind of joke with him and say that he's too polite. And because whenever he would give us notes, he'd be like, "Would you mind doing this, or could you please do it like this?" And we'd be like, "Jim, you don't have to be so nice to that. You just tell us." It was great fun working with both those guys.
I think one of the first scenes that I just laughed out loud about was the lawnmower scene, which is with all of Donald's scenes. How crazy was that lawnmower that looked ancient and weird and?
That mower was a trip. My mom actually started calling it Oscar the Grouch. Yeah, that's what she called it. We actually had a lot of problems with that mower. That mower was hated by everyone on set. We had two mowers, and I think one of them broke because they're so old. But I had to learn how to actually use the mower, how to, you know, set the blades down and start it. And how to work the, you know, acceleration lever. Like, it's very nice to have modern day mowers where all you have to do is pull the thing and then you're going. And it was quite dangerous, because, you know, there's a lot of open blades just spinning really fast, and covering a lot of surface area for an increased risk of harm. And we actually had a stunt crew to help us with managing that mower.
That's crazy. As far as, I mean, you're throughout this film, like, you carry the whole film all the way through and through. Did you know going in that you would be, you know, holding that much screen time? I mean, how do you feel about just being a part of a film where you're the main person? Everything revolves around your character.
would be in every scene. It was kind of funny when I learned I got the role. I actually didn't know that's why my team was calling me. And then I was like, wait, why are you guys calling me? And they're like, oh yeah, you booked this role. I'm like, oh, okay, wow. And it really didn't hit me how much. How important it was until I was on set and, shaking Donald Sutherland's hand when I was like, wow, this is crazy. This is real. And then as the shoot went on, I was like, yeah, this is, it really sunk in how big this role was.
As far as the sequences, is it more difficult to jump into doing something crazy like the Soul Train dancing scene where you fall over, or kind of the more like emotional violent scenes like when you guys go to the other island and you're left there? I mean, which ones when you were reading the script were those are the scenes that stood out to you? Like, I'm going to be most excited about doing these, and I might not be excited about this, or was it all fun?
It definitely was a different expectation shooting the scenes and actually reading them, because I thought a lot of the bullying scenes would be extremely difficult and emotionally taxing, but they were actually weren't bad at all. The whole crew was really great about making me feel like I was safe, and the cast was also they were all. After we filmed some certain scenes, they were kind of shaken up, and I was, it kind of made me feel better because I knew that they were just as uncomfortable as I was doing it. But I think the hardest one of the hardest scenes to shoot was definitely the Soul Train one. That was actually the last scene I shot, was that crazy scene. When I first started doing that, I was like, man, this is so embarrassing. I probably look so stupid doing this. But then I realized, wait, that's the point. So then I just kind of, I got a little more comfortable. I think we filmed like 10 minutes straight of me just doing it over and over again. And the longer I did it, the more I kind of sank into that that place.
As far as the crazy bird scene, they even put it in the trailer. It's so wild. How many takes was that? Was that a real bird that you throw? I mean, what? How did that all sequence work out? That whole thing was ridiculously crazy to watch.
Yeah, it was a real bird. It was more than one bird, actually. I think we had something like 10 or 15 homing pigeons that we used. To shoot that scene, I think we must have done it like 5 or 6 times just to get the right kind of lift off for the bird. I think the bird was the main thing with that scene. One of the takes, the bird kind of just plopped in the water and then flew off, and that was the one take that the bird didn't just immediately fly away, and that was the take where we were like, oh, that's really a lot more interesting to look at than just seeing the bird fly away. That was a fun scene. I got to hold the pigeon in the box. It was pretty fun.
I was kind of amazed. I didn't think we'd see as much screen time with you and Judy. I kind of figured Luke's character and Judy's character kind of in the book would be kind of toned down, but there's some wonderful little moments between you and Judy about what everyone thinks is going on. She's trying to be there for you, but you're obviously going through a lot of stuff. Can you talk about working with not just only Donald, but like Luke and Judy, the elder actors on set, and you have wonderful scenes with them?
Yeah, it was great working with them. Actually, I don't think we really worked together that long. I think it was pretty short, but in the short time that I worked with them, I really felt like I got to know them, and I also learned so much from them. We all got along really well, and there was one time where we were kind of waiting on set for a while, and me and procedural detective crime show. And that was something we messed around with for about an hour. And we did, like, a bunch of slow-mo shots of us messing around, and it was a lot of fun. So it wasn't just work. It was, you know, we had some fun. It was great working with them.
How much time did you actually have on set? I mean, you obviously had to be there more than anyone. You're never seen.
I think the total shoot was something like 20 days, I believe. So it was not like, looking back, it was pretty short, but I was there every day. And I think Donald was only there for about a week because they wanted to get all of his scenes done. I think it was about 22 days.
Was it fun to transition from working with someone like Donald at the beginning? Did it make it easier tackling those scenes first?
Kind of, because he really he had, I think, the most difficult lines to memorize, for sure, because it was really mainly Bobby asking Donald, or not Donald, but Dr. Khan, questions, and then Dr. Khan just giving so much life advice in such a short amount of time. Donald had to memorize huge paragraphs of dialogue, in the morning, and he did it so well. So I think that kind of, I was worried that I was not going to be able to memorize my lines in time, because I would be on set every day, but seeing Donald work like that, it took a lot of the load off, a lot of the dread of having to memorize lines.
As far as being open, I'm a bigger guy, and I looked at this film and I was amazed. Your shirt's off through a whole ton of this film. What made you be able to be free and open? Because I think it's going to be really impactful when people see this movie.
I think self-image you kind of have to leave behind when you go to work. But I think it's really important to see everything, to fully understand everything. And even the smallest detail can really add to that effect.
I've got to ask, what's it like working off Danielle? And y'all had some obviously wonderful scenes. Obviously a kiss involved too. What was it like working with her?
She's great, yeah. We are still really good friends to this day. We had a lot of fun. The kiss, though, I will say I did make that very awkward. That's all I'll say about it.
Very cool. So I know you're an Atlanta guy. You lived maybe a little bit in Minnesota. I mean, was it? I'm curious. Being someone, my brother lived in Atlanta. I'm curious. It seems like Atlanta's exploding as far as work. Are you excited to be kind of in one of the real kind of hubs that aren't LA or New York? I mean, you get to stay home potentially and still work pretty consistent. I know this movie wasn't in Atlanta, but you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of stuff going on right where you are.
Yeah, I think it all has a lot to do with, everything is self-taped now. So I can work or live anywhere and still send auditions to LA or wherever the project is casting from. But even now, now all the projects, or not all of them, but a lot of them are coming to Atlanta. Like, even a lot of the big Marvel movies are shooting here now. So it's really exciting that, I'm lucky enough to have been born and raised here. And it's just, it just happens to be the emerging hub of the East Coast. So it's exciting, yeah.
As far as this movie coming out in, gosh, I guess it comes out on the 11th, here locally. What do you feel when you see your movies come out? I mean, you filmed this a while ago, but I mean, what are you anticipating with the release of the film?
I think people will like it, but me watching it personally, it is I can't really be objective watching my performance. And I think watching myself, it does kind of, it does make it harder to kind of ignore kind of my performance, kind of look at everything else. I'm getting better at that, though. I think, you know, when I do auditions now, it's, when I first started, I couldn't watch my auditions. I'd have to trust my mom to know which ones were good, because I just couldn't watch them. But, you know, I'm growing out of that now. But, yeah, I think with when I put aside my kind of biases toward my performance, I think it's really entertaining, really, really fun movie. And also with a great underlying meaning.
And I'll be honest, it's fascinating for someone who's been as bold to tweet a director about getting a role, or, you know, to be in a film, you know, every scene, to hear that you still have, you know, a difficult time watching yourself on camera. That's really crazy. I wouldn't anticipated that. Wow, Blake, do you feel acting wise that you're still kind of in that figuring out who you are stage? I mean, where are you in mentally about where you want to be as an actor? That's curious. I didn't anticipate that response.
Yeah, I mean, I'm learning and growing every day in terms of my acting ability. I still have a long way to go, so I'm gonna go with the flow and just see where it takes me. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I really haven't been in this industry for that long, and and this is my first true leading role, so I think that has a lot to do with it, where I'm nervous about, you know, other people seeing me, and I feel like I don't really have the confidence yet in myself to really know, like, because I've never starred in a movie, so I'm sure, you know, the more experience I get, the more objective I can be with myself.
Wow, very cool. Well, just as kind of a, I mean, I love the film. I was blown away by it, and I just interviewed Robert, the author of the book, and he was blown away. The thing he took away most from it is your performance. I've got to ask, being able to stay at home, have your mom be a big part of your work, is it helpful to have your family there working alongside you? I mean, is that a big part of why maybe you were able to get this type of role?
Oh, yeah. My mom does play a big role in my career, absolutely. You know, she's also my coach when we do auditions. She's just naturally pretty good at you know, knowing what kind of emotions someone would have in that situation. I think it does come from life experience that I don't have yet. Yeah, but family is very important for any kind of you know, for everything. But yeah, she's kind of my manager, like another manager. Like, she's my advisor.
Very cool. Well, if you don't mind, I'd love to ask what you have coming up. I know you probably can't really, you know, reveal too much if you've got something major, but, you know, what can we anticipate seeing you in, Blake? I mean, I think after seeing this movie, a lot of people are going to be excited to see what's next.
Yeah, I do actually have something lined up, a movie called Chance that I'll be filming in June, and that's about a boy my age who lived in Cincinnati, Ohio, who is a potential D1 baseball player who committed suicide, and it's kind of the story of, you know, how that happened and why. But not only just that, but you see you see his baseball potential, and you throughout his whole life as he plays baseball through his younger years, and you really get to grow with this human being. Yes, he is a human being.
Well, I kind of, final question. I would love to know, Blake, since, I mean, you're just starting to kind of maybe peak as far as getting big roles, and I think you have a crazy future in front of you. Are there any actors that you particularly look to, or inspirations, or just people in the industry that you like watching their trajectory and seeing if it's similar to yours, or are you kind of trying to steer clear of any of that?
That's a tough question, because there's so many actors that I, you know, there are a lot of different kinds of actors. You know, you got the super intense method actors, like, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis or Philip Seymour Hoffman or Heath Ledger, who give just incredible performances. But, you know, there are some kind of dangers that come with that kind of acting, where it's, you know, that intense of a character. So I think that's something I'll definitely keep in mind in case I ever think about becoming full method like them, which probably won't happen anytime soon. But as far as actors that, you know, I'd love to work with or that I look up to, I think J.K. Simmons is, you know, he was in the movie The Late Bloomer that I was also in, and I met him very briefly on a red carpet for that premiere, and he was, you know, very complimentary and just a great, you know, great guy. And seeing him in Whiplash and seeing him in his new show Counterpart, it would just be so great to work with him. And he was awesome.
Is there any directors that you would love to work with? I mean, you've gotten to work with some fun ones. I mean, Jim, I've heard some wonderful stories about Jim being just a blast, and you already talked about how he's so polite and nice being British. That whole British style compared to American directors is so different.
I think Denis Villeneuve, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. He's
from Blade Runner, right? Yeah, Denis?
Blade Runner, the new Blade Runner, Arrival, Sicario, those are like probably the three biggest ones that he's directed that I've absolutely adored. I think he's a genius, especially for Arrival. That was one of my favorite movie of, I think it was 2016 that came out. That was my favorite movie of the year. And he also has just watching interviews that he's in. He just seems like such a down-to-earth and polite guy. I think working with him would be incredible. And also, whatever project he's doing, you know, it's going to be, you know, super just crazy, like sci-fi or action, like Blade Runner. I mean, man, that's a beautiful movie.
Very cool. Well, Blake, I appreciate the time. I was blown away by the movie. Incredible job.
Thank you.
Can't wait to see people's reaction. I think they're going to love it. But also, I'm excited about this Chance movie. It sounds incredible, too. Another potential big role. I mean, sounds really emotional and obviously kind of sad with what happens. So,
yeah.
Can't wait to see what happens. And Blake, be excited. We're a couple days away from the release. This is cool.
Yeah, I know. It's very close. I'm a little nervous, but excited also.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and keep going strong, buddy. Thanks, buddy.